with everyone involved in sports yesterday.
You mentioned Kyle Rittenhouse too, and I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I watched a lot of video yesterday, maybe too much for my own mental health, and seeing the video that was put together of the police giving him water, saying, "We're glad you're here," and then he identifies himself as a murderer while wielding a machine gun, an AR-15, walking up to police, and he walks right past them. That has absolutely seared itself in my brain. And everyone's saying, he's the shooter. He literally said, "I just killed someone." He said, "I'm the shooter." He's holding an AR-15, and, "Oh, hey, how's it going? All right, okay, don't worry about him. He's fine." I can't shake that image.
Nor should you, because this is exactly what people have been talking about. The fact that if you look at a lot of the police murders that have happened, they have happened for a lot less than someone walking the streets brandishing an AR-15. And the fact that there are people that are not just explaining away what Kyle Rittenhouse did, but elevating him to the level of hero. These are the things that black people in America have seen for hundreds of years happen. And that's why everyone has been trying to express the idea of black lives mattering. And that it is not in a way to put a black life above anyone else. It's to call into question how it is that our country and specifically the police treat black people, and how it is disproportionately different than how they treat white assailants. And the fact that play the game of imagine if that was a black guy that was walking down the streets of Kenosha with an AR-15, and what would have happened to that person. And it's because black skin is an inherent threat to police officers, and white skin is not. And until they realize that that is the case and start to try and make change towards that not being the case, people feel threatened. They feel threatened. And all we're seeing is escalation in this regard. That even when the FBI tells you about some of these militia groups that have been being built up and categorize them as terrorism groups, that as a republic, we yawn and do nothing. We do nothing with any of this information. And then when people do try to peacefully protest, those people are shouted down. When there's looting because people don't listen when those protests are going, those people are shouted down. When we say that we're all about the players getting back to playing the games and giving us our respite from all of this stuff, and then the players then walk away and use their platform and use their voice, then those people get shouted down. Tell us how we can actively work and try to make change without there being a level of resistance that is based in a history of racism and bigotry that is going to make you comfortable, that will allow for you to join with us in trying to make the change, because you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And you'll act like it's wrong when there is a major, major issue. But in the day-to-day life of what's happening for every American, it's just go ahead and entertain us. Like, that's what people are pushing back on these NBA players. No, don't take my entertainment away. You can't do that. I need this. I need you to go out there and tap dance for me. I need you to go out there and entertain me. So I understand it. And I remember, Dan, I remember when there was talk about Kyrie Irving at the beginning of the bubble, saying, should we go into the bubble? And people laughed it off because it's Kyrie Irving, and he's not always the great representative for stuff like this. But he was right. And I tried to tell people that he was right in thinking maybe this isn't the best way for us to go about this. And all of these things have been muted over the stretch of time when sports have come back, where you have Black Lives Matter on the floor and you have everyone putting their slogans on their jerseys. And I think that what we're seeing from NBA players is you have them going, did any of this make an actual difference in the way that not NBA players, but the average black citizen in America, did any of this help in allowing those people to feel safer when they are walking the streets of Kenosha or Chicago or Seattle or Atlanta? Pick a city, because it doesn't matter. And now they're showing frustration with, maybe we didn't get it right. So how do we go about using our power to actually affect change? These are the questions that have to be answered, and they're not easy. They're not easy answers. And that's another part that's really frustrating, because I think that a ton of people would love for it to be easy. Poof, pow, racism and police brutality are resolved. But considering the construction of the systems that have been in place to hold people down, to hold citizens down since the founding of the Republic, it's going to take a long time to undo all of those systems. And all of us are feeling a level of anger and desperation and frustration with the fact that things aren't happening faster. But the reason and the truth that why things are happening faster is because there are people who are working against those things happening faster. They are diametrically opposed to there being equality all the way across the board. Whether we're talking about the rights of women, whether we're talking about the rights of gay and trans people, whether we're talking about the rights of immigrants or black people, there are people who are actively working against that. And it makes it hard for anyone who might be swayed to go, man, this is messed up. What can we do? It feels hopeless. And that's where I think you saw the athletes come to that realization. This feels hopeless. What are we supposed to do?
Of anything that's happened so far, the concrete steps, and we're going to find out more about the NBA players' platform today and what they're going to urge the ownership level to do with their connections, with their actual access to some of the levers of power. I do think that sports teams across the board unilaterally choosing to open their facilities as voting centers may be the single most significant thing they could do. Because like you say, the only way to enact change is by voting for people who pledge to do it. And the only way to overcome all of the roadblocks to free and fair elections, all of the active disenfranchisement and purging of voter rolls and rounding up mailboxes and taking out sorting machines and everything that is being done to actively and perniciously stymie that political expression, for some of these teams to say, you know what? Come to our home and vote. Come here and be heard. I think that's powerful. And I think more teams need to immediately pledge to do that.
I wish that they would, but I got to tell you, Dan, I agree with you in theory. I really do, and I want to believe in the things that we espouse to be what our republic is about. But think about what's happened in the last 3 years. Like, if you feel like there's even been progress in the last 50 years when it comes to voting in America, it's almost been undone in 3 years. The fact that we are at a point where we are being begged to buy stamps to keep the United States Postal Service solvent because there are people who want to use it as a way to take power away from the people. This, and that's why I say we go back to the founding of the Republic. And you look at the words of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, and you look at the words and the idea of freedom for all. It's never been that. Here's who it's been for. And it's what I don't understand, why there can't be a coalition that's bigger than what it is already. It has always been for white, heterosexual, male landowners. That's who they were putting the Constitution together for. That's who they were hoping for freedom for. It wasn't for everybody else. It wasn't even for their wives. It wasn't for poor whites. It was for white, heterosexual, male landowners. That's who they wanted freedom for. And until we come to an agreement on that's what this country was founded upon, when people start, when they get in front of a microphone and they start telling you about the freedom and how great it is to be an American, until they admit and then work to change the hard truths about the history of the United States, it's going to be difficult for any of us to move forward. I would love to stand there with you, Dan, and tell you that we are moving in a good direction when it comes to voting. But all I've seen, especially in the last 3 years, is us taking incredible steps backwards in that regard. And people being okay with it. People being okay with it because of all of the inherent bias and prejudice that lives with us, and we are so unwilling to actually work on. We've just now gotten to the point where we acknowledge some of these truths. It's going to take a long time for us to take that acknowledgement and then turn it into something positive. But the American experience for any person of color, any immigrant, is really difficult. And all of us have been trying to tell you for centuries that that is the case. And I love the idea, Doc Rivers was talking about it, saying that I'm just waiting for America to love us the way that we love it. These are quotes that have been said by Black Americans for hundreds of years, that we are buying in to your idea of what the Republic should be. And at every single turn, every single opportunity, we are brush back. Even those of us who make it to a high level of economic safety that do have the privilege to speak on some of these issues, those people are pushed back against by saying, well, how could you know about the Black experience in America? You're a millionaire. As if making $1 million somehow takes your skin away and doesn't make you Black when you are pulled over by an officer. Like, it is a feeling that is hard for me to even convey to you, Dan, because as angry as I sound right now, I'm angrier than that. Because it keeps happening. We keep letting it happen. And every time that there are steps towards progress, there is a pendulum swing, and we see that there are tons of people who don't want that to be the case. The problem is the assumption that everyone wants for there to be progress, and that the people who are in power don't benefit from there not being progress. These are the things that enrage me as an American. They enrage me as a citizen of the city of Chicago. And I don't know where any of this stuff ends, but I've now gotten to the point, and I can't believe it. I was listening to Goff on Channel 5 this morning, and he was talking about how he hopes that things will be better for his son. And when he was talking about that, I just remember thinking, man, there's going to be a lot of change in my lifetime when I was younger. And the older I get, the more I start to think it won't happen. I talked to a friend of mine last week, and I said, I don't think that we're going to get to where we want to be as a republic till I'm long dead. And I hope to have a long life. I hope that it's not tomorrow, but it could be. It could be, because that's where we're at right now. But it is dark And it's been dark, and people have been trying to tell you that it's dark. And every time that there's a step forward, there's someone that is trying desperately to keep us held back.
Time for me to get out of your way, Lawrence. Go get him.
That's Dan Bernstein. You can check him out every day, 9 a.m. to noon. I miss the station ID. You're listening to WSCR Chicago HD. You're listening to WBMX HD2 Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Look, my goal in the first segment of the show was not to make it about me. I am desperate today to let the athletes speak for themselves. Let me just say this, and then I'm gonna try and move out of the way. Part of the reason that last night, if you were following me on Twitter, I was posting a lot of stuff about baseball, how much I love baseball. I posted some pictures of playing baseball in college with my teammates. The reason that I posted those pictures is because I was scrolling through pictures. I was scrolling through, like my life over the last, I would say, 10, 15 years. I ran across something that, in retrospect, was really valuable to me because it is something that I actually do live by. And I don't want you to think that even after hearing my conversation with Dan that I don't feel this way. Nikki Giovanni is one of my favorite poets. If you don't know anything about Nikki, you need to. She's incredible. You need to look at her work. You need to look at her interviews on YouTube. You need to read her stuff. I almost went to Michigan because I think she was in residence at Michigan at the time. And she's a professor at Virginia Tech. Still, I think she's still working at Virginia Tech. I went and saw her at the Promontory probably 3 years ago. And she said something that really stuck with me. And I ran across the picture of her on stage because you have to understand that I don't get starstruck by many people. She was sitting in the restaurant a couple tables away from me, and I was completely starstruck. I'm watching her speak, and she said something that sticks with me. Optimism is a form of rebellion. And honestly, when she said it, I needed it. I needed it. I needed it last night, too, going back and looking over that picture. I feel like that form of rebellion that is optimism was felt by everyone involved in sports over the last couple of months. The optimism of figuring out ways to get back on the playing surface during a pandemic. The optimism of using your voice and having that voice reach people. That's the thing. It's not just about having a voice. It's whether or not you're able to reach and move people. When I look at the NBA players being frustrated about the shooting of Jacob Blake and then Kyle Rittenhouse being allowed and almost patted on the back by the police in Kenosha for shooting people in the middle of the street, I understand where they could look at this and be like, damn, here we were speaking up and we still didn't get through. It's a hard thing to deal with. I know that for you, I may have gotten through to you, whether we were talking about Juneteenth, whether we were talking about Tulsa, whether we are talking about police shootings overall. I know that I may have gotten through to you. There are some people I can't reach, and there are going to be some people that I don't reach. And there are some people that I'm not even going to try to reach. But the frustration that those players must have felt in having a platform, feeling like there is some incremental progress, and then seeing the exact same thing happen again. And now you have to figure out, okay, well, what do we do now? In the fight for change, these things happen. And one should be angry about them, and one should look to act. The good news is, the middle has moved. 4 years ago, there's outrage at Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Now we're seeing kneeling happen